Welcome to another deep dive with us. Today we're going to be taking a look at the landmark case of Sinclair Oil Corp. v. Levine.
Yeah.
Which really had quite an impact on Delaware corporate law.
Big one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're kind of zeroing in on this today because you want to get a really firm understanding of this case and everything that it implies.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, at first glance, it might seem like a straightforward dispute between, like, you know, a parent company and a subsidiary.
Right.
But it really delves much deeper than that. And, you know, leads to some pretty fundamental questions about fairness and, you know, what it means to be responsible as a corporation.
It really does. And what's so interesting about this case, Sinclair v. Levine, is it really puts a spotlight on, you know, this careful balance that has to exist between a parent company's control and its duties to a subsidiary's minority shareholders.
Yeah.
So we're really looking at whether Sinclair Oil Corporation, the parent company in this instance, overstepped its bounds in its dealings with its subsidiary, which was Sinclair Venezuelan Oil Company.
It's Sinven for short.
Or Sinven.
Yeah, exactly.
So right off the bat, you know, we're seeing this power imbalance.
Right.
Because Sinclair owned 97% of Sinven.
A huge amount, yeah.
Which gives them almost total control.
Right.
So the court had to ask this question, you know, did Sinclair put its own interests first, potentially at the expense of those minority shareholders in Sinven?
Exactly. And that's where the idea of fiduciary duty comes into play.
Right.
Because Sinclair, because of its controlling stake, had this legal obligation to act in the best interest of Sinven, even if those interests weren't always the same as its own.
Right.
So this case really is all about, you know, where you draw that line.
So one of the really big issues in this case was this huge amount of dividends that Sinven paid out.
Right.
From 1960 to 1966, it was a total of $108 million.
A lot of money.
Yeah. It was even more than what Sinven actually earned during that period.
Yeah.
Which, you know, raised some eyebrows.
Understandably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the plaintiff argued that Sinclair was essentially forcing Sinven to give out these dividends because they needed the money.
Right.
And this is where the court had to look at something called the intrinsic fairness test.
Exactly.
Which is, you know,
a really key part of this case.
Now, you know, our listeners are familiar with the business judgment rule.
Right.
Which usually gives boards a lot of freedom in their decisions.
Right.
But in this case, because of the potential conflict of interest between Sinclair and Sinven's minority shareholders, the court applied this tougher standard.
Right, because the intrinsic fairness test kind of shifts the burden of proof to the parent company, in this case, Sinclair. So they had to show that their actions were totally, you know, above board.
Right.
And that they didn't disadvantage those minority shareholders. And it's a much tougher test.
So how did Sinclair do under this tougher standard?
Yeah, like, did they convince the court that they were being fair?
Yeah. Were they able to meet that burden?
Yeah. Well, when it came to the dividends, the court actually sided with Sinclair.
Okay.
And their reasoning was that Sinclair, as the majority shareholder,
right,
was also getting a proportionate share of those dividends.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't, like, taking money away and not giving any to the minority shareholders.
Right. So they weren't unjustly enriching themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. They weren't, like, you know, taking all the money for themselves. It was proportionate to their ownership.
So the court decided that those dividend payouts were fine under the business judgment rule.
Yeah.
So Sinclair's actions there were seen as reasonable.
Within their authority, yeah.
Okay, but this isn't the end of the story, right?
Mm.
The plaintiff had other concerns, particularly when it came to how Sinclair was influencing Sinven's growth.
Right, because the plaintiff also claimed that Sinclair was kind of holding Sinven back.
Right.
Mm. Preventing them from growing and going after opportunities in other countries.
Mm.
Almost like, you know, a parent who's a little too controlling.
Right.
Not letting their child, you know, go out and explore the world.
Yeah.
The argument was that by keeping Sinven stuck in Venezuela, Sinclair was limiting their potential.
Okay.
Yeah, they were saying that there might have been, like, lucrative ventures in other countries that Sinven could have pursued if they hadn't been under Sinclair's control.
Right. So did the court think that this was another example of Sinclair maybe overstepping?
Yeah, it's a good question. And this is where the idea of self-dealing becomes really important.
Okay.
And self-dealing really comes down to whether a parent company is using its position to benefit itself.
Right.
possibly at the expense of the subsidiary. And importantly, its minority shareholders.
So was there evidence that Sinclair was like hoarding these opportunities?
Right.
Keeping Cinven from branching out just to keep the best stuff for themselves?
Well, that was the argument that the plaintiff was making.
Mm-hmm.
But when the court looked at it, they found something interesting.
Okay.
Sinclair actually had a company-wide policy of assigning specific geographic territories to its different subsidiaries.
Huh, okay. So while Sinfrizen was focused on Venezuela,
right,
other Sinclair subsidiaries were operating in places like Alaska, Canada, Paraguay.
Interesting.
So it wasn't a case of Sinclair just picking the best spots and leaving Cinven with nothing good.
Right. So it wasn't cherry picking.
Exactly.
Mm.
And since there wasn't like clear evidence of this self-dealing,
right,
the court decided to use the business judgment rule again. And they said that Sinclair's actions were, you know, within the bounds of acceptable business decisions.
Okay.
But this case doesn't end there.
Right.
There's another layer of complexity that we need to look at.
Yeah.
And this has to do with a contract dispute.
Okay.
And that's where things get really interesting.
This is why Sinclair v. Levin is so fascinating.
Absolutely.
What at first appears straightforward quickly reveals all these layers of complexity.
Right.
And it forces us to really think about the boundaries of corporate power and, you know, fairness. Exactly. And that's exactly what we'll dig into further as we examine this contract dispute.
Yeah.
So stay with us as we unpack how the court dealt with this next challenge.
Okay.
And how it ultimately impacted the outcome of the case.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
Okay. So we've seen so far that the court, you know, has kind of given Sinclair the benefit of the doubt when it comes to those dividends and their overall strategy for, you know, Sinven's operations. But now we're turning to this contract dispute.
Right.
And this is where things start to get really interesting.
Yeah. This is where that intrinsic fairness test really comes into play.
Right.
Remember, that test sets a higher bar for these parent companies.
Mm-hmm.
It demands a much closer look at their actions when those actions could potentially impact their subsidiaries.
Right. So let's break down this contract a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the parties involved and what was the agreement about?
So the contract was between Cinven and another one of Sinclair's subsidiaries.
Okay.
This one called Sinclair International Oil Company,
mm-hmm,
or International for short.
Okay.
Basically, Cinven had to sell all of its crude oil and refined products to International.
Okay.
And the contract laid out specific terms, you know, about how much they had to buy at a minimum and maximum.
Right.
And, of course, the pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So on the surface, it seems like a pretty standard business deal.
But I have a feeling there's more to this story.
You got it.
So what went wrong?
Well, the plaintiff claimed that Sinclair, through International, was breaking this contract.
Okay.
In a couple of really important ways. First, they said International kept delaying payments, sometimes by like a whole month.
Wow. Okay.
And second, they said they weren't buying the minimum amount of crude oil and refined products that the contract said they had to.
So essentially, the plaintiff was saying that Sinclair was using this contract to benefit themselves.
Yeah.
And maybe even hurt Cinven and those minority shareholders in the process.
Exactly. That's exactly what they were saying.
Okay. So does this sound like maybe, you know, a bit of a red flag for the court?
Absolutely, it does, because it really looks like self-dealing. Sinclair, by controlling International, seemed to be setting up this contract so that they would benefit, possibly at the expense of Cinven.
So it sounds like this really got the court's attention. What did they think about this whole contract dispute?
Well, the court really took its time looking at the evidence.
Okay.
And in the end, they agreed with the plaintiff.
Okay.
They said that Sinclair, through International, had in fact breached the contract.
Mm.
The late payment, they said, were a clear violation of the agreement.
Right.
And the court was pretty firm that Cinven should have been paid for those delays.
Interesting. So in this case, the court wasn't just going to accept Sinclair's explanation that this was all, you know, just normal business.
Right. They weren't buying it.
Yeah. And what about those amounts that International was supposed to be buying?
Yeah, so Sinclair tried to argue that they were buying everything that Cinven was producing, but the court wasn't convinced.
Okay.
They pointed out that Sinclair hadn't really proven that Cinven couldn't have produced more or somehow gotten that minimum amount that the contract required.
It's almost like saying, I ate all the cookies in the jar.
Right.
But, you know, not mentioning that you could have just baked more if you really wanted to eat that many cookies.
Uh-huh. That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
The court saw that Sinclair, through International, could have bought more from Cinven.
Right.
But they chose not to.
Interesting.
And because this really pointed to self-dealing, the court use that stricter standard, that intrinsic fairness test.
Okay. And how did Sinclair do this time?
Well, they didn't pass. This time they couldn't show that what they were doing was intrinsically fair to Cinven and its minority shareholders. So the court ordered Sinclair to basically account for those breaches.
Okay.
And to fix the harm that they had caused to Cinven.
This is a pretty big turning point in the case, right?
Yeah.
Up to this point, Sinclair had been doing okay defending their actions.
Right.
But this contract issue reveals this kind of vulnerability in how they were behaving.
Yeah. This part of the case really shows us the difference between that business judgment rule and the intrinsic fairness test.
Mm-hmm.
When there's no sign of self-dealing, courts tend to give parent companies a lot of leeway.
Right.
But as soon as there's even a hint that a parent company is using their position to hurt their subsidiary,
right,
the level of scrutiny goes way up, and the burden of proof really shifts.
Yeah, and in this case, that shift in the burden of proof is what led to Sinclair being held accountable.
Exactly.
For breaching that contract with Cinven.
Sinclair v. Levien really sends a strong message to corporations.
Mm.
It emphasizes how important it is to not just follow the letter of the law,
right,
but to actually act in a way that's fair and ethical.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with subsidiaries.
And it also raises these bigger questions about power in corporate structures.
Absolutely.
You know, how can we make sure that parent companies don't take advantage of their subsidiaries?
It's a really important question. And it's one that we'll continue to explore as we go deeper into this landmark case.
Yeah.
So stick with us as we look at the lasting impact of Sinclair v. Levien.
Okay.
And how it shaped the legal landscape for parent-subsidiary relationships.
All right. So we've talked a lot about the specifics of Sinclair Oil Corp. v. Levien, you know, those big dividends, the contract issues, all that.
Right.
But now I think it's time to zoom out a bit and consider like the big picture, the lasting impact of this case.
Yeah. I mean, what makes Sinclair v. Levien so important is that it didn't just like settle one dispute, you know?
Right.
It set a precedent that really had a ripple effect throughout corporate law.
Mm-hmm.
It forced parent companies to really think carefully about how they deal with their subsidiaries,
right,
especially when it comes to the rights of minority shareholders.
Yeah, this case really drives home the point that parent companies can't just treat their subsidiaries like their own personal piggy bank,
right,
you know, or just use them for their own selfish interests. They have this really clear legal and ethical obligation,
yeah,
to be fair and to consider all the shareholders.
And that's where that intrinsic fairness test becomes so crucial.
Right.
It's not just about, you know, checking off the boxes of what's legal. It's about making sure that the whole relationship between the parent company and the subsidiary is actually equitable.
Right.
This case really made it clear that courts are going to look at these relationships very, very carefully.
Yeah.
Especially if there's even a hint of self-dealing going on.
It's amazing to me how this one case decided back in 1971 is still shaping how we think about corporate governance today.
Yeah.
It's like this constant reminder that we need to be careful about power dynamics in corporations.
Absolutely.
To make sure there aren't any abuses, you know.
It's a constant balancing act.
Yeah.
And this case really sparked a broader conversation, too.
Oh, yeah. About
corporate social responsibility.
Hmm. Interesting.
You know, it challenged this idea that corporations can just focus on making as much money as possible. And it forced them to consider the ethics of their actions.
Yeah.
How they impact different groups of stakeholders.
So if you had to boil it down, what would you say is the most important thing to take away from Sinclair v. Levien?
You know, if I had to pick just one thing, it would be the idea that transparency and accountability are absolutely essential in these relationships between parent companies and subsidiaries. This case showed us that courts are willing to step in and protect minority shareholders if those principles are violated.
Yeah.
It's a powerful reminder that corporate power can't just be used however someone wants.
Right. It has to be used responsibly and ethically.
Exactly.
Well, Sinclair Oil Corp. v. Levien has certainly given us a lot to think about.
It really has.
It's a case that just keeps on giving insights for anyone interested in, you know, corporate law, ethics, all those complex dynamics of power and responsibility in business.
I hope our listeners found this deep dive informative and maybe even a little inspiring.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Remember, thinking critically and asking questions is so important when it comes to the world of corporate governance.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Sinclair v. Levien.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, keep those critical thinking caps on and keep challenging assumptions.